Today on Awakened to Grace, we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We are in the conclusion of a series on spiritual growth. And today we're going to talk about our walk. Now, when the Bible talks about our walk, it's meaning our daily life. It's talking about our lifestyle. So I'm calling today spiritual walk. Check your lifestyle. We're going to see how the Bible teaches us that we should look carefully how we walk, or in other words, pay careful attention to the way that we live. And the Bible is going to go on to say that we should make the best use of the opportunities that God gives us, or some say redeeming the time. Well, we're going to follow Paul's logic. We're going to follow each of these phrases through these few verses, and we're going to learn how we can live a daily lifestyle that glorifies God, builds His kingdom. Well, I hope you enjoy today's broadcast of Awaken to Grace. Ephesians chapter 5. Today we're going to look at verse 15, 16, and 17. We're going to conclude a series today that we've been talking about spiritual growth. If you've missed any of the series, let me just give you a crash course of where we've been real quick, and then we will take a look at today's teaching. We began with week one talking about spiritual health. Check your vitals. We were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We saw that the three vital signs of a Christian is faith, love, and hope. Scripture said that about the works of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. And we talked about how do you ensure that you are healthy as a Christian. We highlighted verse 4 that as Christians, we are chosen by God. He loves us and He chose us before we ever came into the world. Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, you were in the very heart and the very mind of God Almighty, the Creator. And so we highlighted verse 4 that if we are chosen in Christ for salvation, we don't work for salvation, but rather it is because of salvation that we have the works of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. And so in week one, we learn how to measure our pulse to see how healthy of a believer that we truly are. And we saw that we're chosen in Christ for salvation. In week two, we were in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and we saw that we are, if we're chosen in Christ for salvation, the next step in spiritual growth is that we are to grow up into salvation. We saw that like newborn infants, we are to long for the spiritual milk of God's word. And after growing in Christ and after being on the spiritual milk, there ought to come such spiritual growth that we transition into solid food. Hebrews 5, 12, 13, and 14. And then we saw if we're chosen in Christ for salvation, week one, we are growing up in Christ into salvation, week two. Then last week we called it spiritual maturity. Check your attitude. I argued last week that it's possible for you to be chosen in Christ and be growing up into salvation, but then let our attitudes hinder the true work that God wants to do in our life. You can read your Bible and still have a bad attitude. You can come to church every week and still have a poor attitude. You can enjoy good Christian worship and fill your life with Christian music and still exhibit a bad attitude. And we talked even more specifically last week, rather than just saying a bad attitude, we are in Philippians chapter 2. What did we say was more difficult to detect? A selfish attitude. And we learned what the way Christ came. He came with true humility. And Scripture tells us in chapter 2 of Philippians, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so the thread has been, if we are chosen in Christ for salvation, if we are growing up in our faith unto salvation, if we are working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and if we have the spiritual vital signs healthy, if we have spiritual nourishment and our diet is healthy, and if our attitude is right, and our attitude is healthy, then all of a sudden we begin to grow in Christ. We become that new creation where old things pass away and everything becomes new. Now today, to conclude the series, I want to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. I want to talk about what it is to check our lifestyle. We called week one spiritual health. We talked about spiritual nourishment. Then we talked about spiritual maturity. Today we're going to talk about your spiritual walk. We talked about what it meant to check your vitals, what it meant to check your diet, what it meant to check your attitude, and today we're going to talk about what it means to check your lifestyle. We're going to examine ourselves as Scripture teaches us to examine ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk." I love that phrase. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, knowing that the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What a remarkable set of scripture from the hand of the Apostle Paul. Let's unpack it a little bit today. What does he mean by look carefully then how you walk? Well, understand, when the Bible talks about our walk, you need to understand it's talking about your lifestyle. It's talking about the way you live your everyday life. It's not talking about your Sunday life. It's not talking about a compartment of your life called God. It's not talking about the religious part of you or the church part of you. It's talking about your everyday, go to work, come home, raise your family, have your friends, enjoy your interests, live your life, go through your struggles, enjoy your joys, and everything in between. Your walk equals your lifestyle. And what Paul is going to tell us is that we should look carefully. We should pay careful attention to how we live our everyday walk. And with this logic of Scripture, if you are concerned about your spiritual health, if you are concerned about your spiritual diet, if you are concerned about your spiritual attitude and outlook, then naturally, what are you going to be concerned about? Your lifestyle. What serious Christian is going to measure their health and measure their diet and measure their attitude and then just let their lifestyle be anything that comes along? No. This is a process. This is a journey of God sanctifying our lives. And what Paul's recommendation to us is that we ought to pay careful attention to how we live. Pay careful attention to our walk. You know, this becomes even more clear to me as so many of you know, a couple of years ago, I went completely blind. And let me tell you how careful I walk today. First of all, I walk about 2 miles an hour. It's kind of sad, but I'm careful. I'm far more careful today than I ever was ever in my life. And thankfully, I've been blind just a little over 2 years now, and I have not fallen one single time. I've not stumbled. I've not fallen. I've come close a couple times. Those bump stops out here in the parking lot, they'll make a preacher cuss. I've come mighty close, but I've not yet fallen. Amen. And sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, help me not to fall. And then I'll just add to it, Lord, help me not to fall physically. Help me not to fall morally. Help me not to fall spiritually. Doesn't the Bible say in Jude 1:24 that God is able to present us without stumbling? He's able to present us before the Father with great glory and with great joy. Amen? But see, I'm much more careful today how I walk. I pay far closer attention today than I ever did because I never want to fall. The Bible is saying in a spiritual way, in a practical way, that you and I should have that same level of carefulness that we pay attention. We look. We watch. We're discerning. We are diligent. We are disciplined. We pay careful attention to how we walk in this life. Because let me tell you what the Lord doesn't want for you. The Lord doesn't want you to fall. The Lord doesn't want you to trip. He doesn't want you to stumble. He doesn't want you to hurt yourself. Or worse, hurt those around you. That's not what the Lord desires for the outcome of your life. So he says, pay careful attention. Now, I love this paying careful attention. You know what the Puritans called this? They equated this to spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines are so important in our life. There are many spiritual disciplines. We've covered some of them over the last couple of years. I mean, prayer is a spiritual discipline. Even church attendance is a spiritual discipline, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, Hebrews 10:25. When all of this COVID mess lifts, you know, as we know, there are so many within our own church congregation who are unable to come right now because so many suffer from asthma and chronic lung issues and cancer and so forth. I mean, just so many like that. But once all of this stuff lifts and we're all able together once again, that's going to have to be something that we encourage people in, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the habit of some. You know, so easily we either get into the habit of going to church or we fall into the habit of not. And so Scripture gives us a warning there. Tithing is a spiritual discipline. Fasting, which we're getting ready to do in January. I hope you're ready for that. Fasting is a great spiritual discipline. And what the Puritans called this text, they called it the whetstone of Scripture. You know what a whetstone is? You ever seen men sharpening their knives on that block, on that whetstone? And they called this text the whetstone of Scripture. It sharpens you. And what a great image going into 2021. I want to be sharper spiritually than what I've ever been. I don't want to be dull for the Lord. No, I want to be sharp. I want God to be able to use me and speak clearly to me and work mightily through me. And what does it require? It doesn't require talent. It doesn't require oodles of knowledge. It doesn't require somebody who has everything in life all together. No, let me tell you what it requires. Righteousness, holiness, obedience, faith, hope, love. Those are works that God wants to do within you as a believer. And as God works mightily in you, he'll then work mightily through you. But see, so many Christians today have it backward. They want to see God work through them. They're just not willing for God to work within them. Make sense? This is the whetstone of Scripture. This is where you sharpen yourself biblically. Spiritually, pay careful attention. Look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Notice the next verse, making the best of the time, use of the time. The King James says, redeeming the time. What does that mean? Now, it's interesting, the word time here is not how you and I would typically use the word time, as in a watch, a clock. It's not talking about time management. It's not talking about days or weeks or years in the sense of chronological time. There are two Greek words for time in the Bible. Chronological time would be chronos, which would be a calendar set of time. And the Bible does teach that. In Psalms, it says, teach us to number our days. Wise people will number their days. It's talking about that. But in this case that Paul's writing, he's not talking about chronos time. He's not talking about chronological time. He uses the Greek word kairos. And the Greek term kairos means a set of time. And in our culture, in our English language, we would say something like, remember when? Remember when 9/11 happened? Remember the climate of the country? All of us at some point would be able to look back and say, remember when we were quarantined? Remember 2020? It's talking about a season. It's talking about a set like that. And what Paul is saying is make the best opportunity, make the redeem, the kairos, redeem this season. How interesting. And I think it's exactly what God is speaking to our church here at the end of this year, not in a chronological way, but in a season way. We've talked about this, how easy it would be to resign the year, how easy it would be to just roll over and just let it pass. But no, through your amazing generosity, we stepped up for our local law enforcement and we did the great Bless the Blue project that I believe is going to have fruit for years to come. We stepped in to Smile Foster Kids and did our very best to help that ministry and help them care for those children. We stepped into Hope Haven Shelter and did Christmas for them and blessed those men in a great way, I believe. Right now, Bibles for Bangladesh, God put such a huge and a mighty project in my heart, and God spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to do. And out of that entire project, depending on how we end today, you know, right now we are only $80 away from that entire project being fully funded. Why would the Lord speak to us about this and this and this and this? Why would he not just say one thing? Why would God not say, it's been a tough year on everybody? Why don't you just do one thing? You know why? Because you know what we're fulfilling? We're fulfilling verse 16. Make the best use of this season. Make the most of this opportunity. Take advantage of the season, of the time. And that's what I believe we've been faithful to do as a church. I believe that's what you're doing as a family. How important it is. And I believe one day we'll look back on this kairos. Not this chronological calendar year. No, I think we'll look back one day, I think in eternity, we'll look back on this kairos and we'll be able to say as a congregation, boy, we made the best of it. We made the best of it. Those 92 cancer center gift bags that you sent, we made the best of it, amen? You know, a little cancer patient sent the church a card this week thanking us for those wonderful gift bags and said what an amazing light it was to her this Christmas season. Praise God for it. Listen, there are so many things that the Lord has allowed us to do by his grace. Oh, those missionaries who were here last week, what a mighty blessing we were to. I'm not keeping count, but that's like two hands worth of things that right here, the last 12, 13 weeks of the year, we have made the best of our opportunity. Are you doing it personally? Are you doing it as a family? Are you asking the Lord, who can we serve? Who can I help? Who can I count them more significant than I count myself? And friends, I'm telling you, if we'll look around, you'll see God at work in so many places, so many things, that God will have the ability to use you. Amen? I've got a friend here today that I don't mean to embarrass him. I probably will embarrass him, but I feel like the Lord's saying you just need, I feel like the Lord's saying this is a good example. Our brother Chuck is here this morning. As cold as it is today, did you know that my friend Chuck walked from Stone Drive to get here today? I didn't walk here today. And you know what? He came early before anybody else got here to shovel ice and snow out of our parking lot. Friends, let me tell you, whatever level that you and I are serving at, we can up it. Can we say amen to that? If we'll just pay attention. See, that's what this scripture is telling us. If we'll just pay attention, God will show us things and we'll begin to live as wise and not unwise. I just finished earlier in the month a book that really changed my life. I've done so much reading on the life of Jim Elliot, but I went back and I listened to the classic book. It was written in 1958. And I went back and listened to the classic book called Through Gates of Splendor. Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Pete Fleming, Ed McCulley, and Roger, those five men went to Ecuador to preach the gospel to unreached peoples. They had guns, but they vowed they would never use those guns, ever. They may fire a warning shot, but they would never use them on the Aqua Indians. The Indians were known as cannibals. They were known as headhunters. They spent a couple of years trying to reach them, trying to make contact with them. And on the first very real encounter, these men, who most of them were in the prime of life, they were in their late 20s, early 30s. They all had wives. Most of them had children. They were killed. They were martyred by these Indians. What's so remarkable about Through Gates of Splendor is that the wives and the children didn't leave Ecuador. They stayed and they lived among the men that killed their husbands. Those men ended up giving their lives to Christ. And it's a remarkable story. It's literally a story for the ages. Jim Elliot said so passionately and so wonderfully at the age of 28, "He is no fool who gives what he can never keep to gain what he will never lose." Friends, that's living a wise life. How foolish it is to live for the moment. How foolish it is to live for the fleeting pleasures of this world. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he'll never lose.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast and would like to hear more great content, you can always download our free mobile app, Awakened to Grace, where you can request prayer, find sermons, articles, blogs, music, podcasts, as well as support us financially. You can also visit either of our websites at www.preachingchristchurch.com or www.awakenedtograce.com for more information about our church or our resource ministry. Thank you for listening to Awakened to Grace.